The human condition is complex.
Complex.
Where the human spirit meets the human psyche, therein lies the soul.
The soul.
The soul, with your hosts, Danielle Agnew and Roy Pack.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday. Here at mtradio.net, I am your host, psychic medium Danielle Agnew, and of course we have our psych major, Mr. Roy Pack. How are you, Roy?
Oh, I'm doing good tonight. That was a very cool intro. That's the first time I got to hear it.
Right?
Yeah, I was sitting here wanting to, you know, do a little funky beat and dance around a little bit and stuff in my chair, yeah.
Right, chair dancing.
But I can't dance. I'm a Y boy.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to bust you on this. I've seen you dance, and you dance really well. You are a rhythm player, my friend. You have played congas behind me in all kinds of bands. You are fascinating. So
that doesn't count.
That doesn't count. Well,
who can't dance to Doobie Brothers and, you know, good rhythm and soul and stuff like that?
Well,
see how I worked soul into that?
Yes, you did. The soul, in fact. Way to go, man. Way to go.
Can't dance to that. Hey.
That's right. You don't want to scare anybody. Speaking of scaring people on this fabulous Wednesday, we do want to apologize, you guys. Oh, I love it. This is scary. Our mtradio.net phone lines today, Wednesday, are being dug out right now. So we're unable to take your calls on the show today. This is going to be repaired very, very shortly, probably by tomorrow or the next day. They'll get these things up and running again. So normally we'd have you guys call in. You're going to be able to hear us. We won't be able to hear you today. However, if you do go to our Facebook page, either mine or Roy's, and make some comments. We are in Mercury retrograde, so I was having a little trouble, of course, trying to get onto Facebook to answer your questions or comments for last show.
And she panicked.
You know, hey, I did. Just a little. I just, you know, threw up in my mouth just a little, but I controlled it. And just to try to get over that. So hopefully we'll be able to get on to your questions or comments today on Facebook. And really, Mercury retrograde is scary enough. However, Roy, last hour, I was covering everything from fear consciousness, because you and I talked about the Ebola stuff before the show started on Sight Unseen, to what people could do to better themselves. And we ended up on Ouija boards and why people do what they do. And you made a fascinating comment about the fact that you don't like those things that make you mad.
They're annoying. They really annoy me. Just because I don't like people telling me what they want me to think or what they want me to do when I know good and well they're wrong.
Everyone, I'd like to point out that my co-host Roy Pack is also a Virgo. Thank you, Roy. Yes. So
okay,
you don't like
yes,
being
June 26, 2012, I was supposed to be dead. Ouija board told me that.
Really?
Yeah, like 4 decades ago.
And that is what dark does. It gets on there, tries to freak you out when you're little. Yep. Yeah, you're still here.
And I had a great bottle of wine that day.
Did you?
I did, with some friends.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep.
I love great bottles
celebrated
of wine.
Celebrated that day. I figured that was the first day of the rest of my life, officially, because I died that day, according to the Ouija board.
According to the Ouija board.
They wanted me to do all these things to get ready for it and be prepared for it and be in fear and everything else and all that good stuff. And you know what? I just don't care.
This is the dilly gaff moment.
It's a dilly gaff moment. You know, my daughter, she's 7 years old, and she's got a great attitude on fear. Took her whitewater rafting all summer, and she guided with me all summer. And people in the boat would say, God, don't you ever get scared? I'm scared doing this. And she'd look at him, and she'd say, fear is a lie that keeps you from doing things you want to do and having fun.
Wow. You go Sequoia. Wisdom of the youngins.
And she was right. She is right. That's what fear is. Fear is something that's put out there that you feel either because someone else made you feel it or because you chose to feel it, that keeps you from doing the things that you really want to be able to do, that you think you could do, that you think you should do, all that kind of stuff. There is a difference between having fear and being cautious about something.
Yes.
Being, you know, prudence, conservative, having discretion. You know, you can have enough discretion to not do something because you know it's a bad idea. That's way different than fear. Fear is just being terrified to death of whatever it is that you're about to do when there's really no problem with it.
Absolutely. It's the illusion of defeat, the illusion of what you're literally afraid of the most. Mm-hmm. And it's between the ears.
Yep.
You know, one of the best quotes ever, and I'm going to get this wrong, so forgive me, was actually out of an M. Night Shyamalan movie. And it was the one where Will Smith played the very fearless, guy who crashes on Earth with his son, and this is Earth way in the future,
yep.
and it's killing everybody with the Earth life. And his kink in this movie is that he is not afraid of anything. And there are these aliens that can smell fear, and they will attack you if they smell your fear. And he is actually capable of controlling his fear to the point where he is invisible to these aliens, which obviously is an analogy for darkness and how we deal with our fear. And he had the best quote, and I wish I had it. I wish I could get my 3G to work well enough to pull it up. But it said, the definition, fear is the process of changing what you do just simply because you believe something is going to happen with no supported evidence. And that is the definition of madness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my first definition of fear goes all the way back to the movie Dune.
When
he's got his hand in the box there, and you know he's thinking to himself, and he's like, "Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death." You know, and it's just letting it pass. That was his goal, and the whole thing is letting the fear pass, knowing it was there, knowing it was a thing, and just letting it pass and going on with what he was doing.
Yes,
you know, and doing what he was doing. Oh, God. That's wonderful.
Doing just be where you're at and do what you're doing.
Yep.
Be where you're at and do what you're doing.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of theories out there on fear and what it does for us, what it does to us. You know, and some people can say, well, God, I love the fear when I jump out of an airplane in a rush and everything else and stuff like that. And there's actually a theory put out by R.L. Solomon called the, acquired opponent process theory of acquired motivation. Now, the opponent process theory, what it states is, for the thing that you want, you do the thing that's the opposite, and then you get your reward, which is the opposite emotion. So here's in a nutshell what it is. You're getting ready to jump out of an airplane. You're scared to death, adrenaline rush, everything else. When you hit the ground, that all subsides, and you've got the elation and the euphoric feeling afterwards. Why do people keep jumping out of the plane? Because they're scared, they're terrified and everything, but the after feeling from that is the euphoria. So they'll become addicted to that euphoria and keep doing it. And the same thing works in reverse with like drug addiction.
Oh, interesting.
You know, people will do the euphoria first and have the downtime afterwards. Well, they still keep seeking that euphoria, even though there's the downtime. Now, the hitch to that is the initial emotion that you feel. It lessens with time. Each time you jump out of the plane, there's less and less fear, less and less fear. But the after feeling, the euphoria increases. Okay. Each time you do a drug that creates the euphoria, that lessens. But the after emotion, the burnout, the drop down increases.
Yeah, it's huge. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so it's an interesting theory that, you know, bases itself on fear and euphoria and the rewards that come along with that. And all of that. So some people go out there and they face their fears. They do the thing they're afraid of so they can get a rush out of it.
Oh, absolutely they do. Riding a roller coaster. I do not like inertia when I'm going down feet first. That's really scary to me. It's the ultimate out of control feeling is being dragged down a track feet first, way faster than the velocity of my own body falling. And I would do well on a roller coaster, actually, that I went head first on. The Superman coaster where you lay down and you go head first, that I could handle. It's something about being dragged down by my feet that just scares me to death. And I tried to go on the roller coaster and then feel accomplishment afterwards. I had such a feeling of, I was really little too, though. That's probably it too. I was too young to be on the roller coaster I was on. And I had this child's response to roller coasters when I see them. I'm like, oh my God, it's going to kill me, which is completely irrational. It's a roller coaster. However, the euphoria, my cousin Sean loves him and he'll do that. He will scare the bejesus out of himself just to get done and be like, yeah, that rocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that euphoria he felt afterwards, it lasts all day long,
yes.
Maybe even more. And so keep doing that for that. The fear will get less and less and less. Then it's just thrill seeking and a rush and having a good time. And
that is absolutely true.
And hopefully not throwing up or peeing his pants.
No, that was me.
That was you.
That was me doing all those fabulous things. You know, I find that fear respect, if we're talking about Halloween and the paranormal also, ghost hunting teams. I've watched people go in so terrified to go ghost hunting. And things happen on paranormal investigation. You and I have been on them. They happen. They're scary. You know, doors will slam. And sometimes if it's a powerful enough entity, things will fly across the room. You know, things will actually fly and move, and it's unnerving, actually. The more you do it, the less frightened you are of it. Yet you seek doing it just to see what you're going to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just pushing the limit and going and seeing what you're going to find, what you can see, things like that. People do that in life as well. Fear is an interesting thing.
Yes, it is. And sometimes it definitely has a place always, because mm-hmm. it teaches us about ourselves. Mm-hmm. It teaches us about ourselves. I love the way that human beings, though, you brought up an excellent point here. We love to frighten ourselves. Mm-hmm. What is that about? I'm going to go on the scariest roller coaster ever. I'm going to throw up. I'm going to pee my pants. I'm going to be miserable. I love this. I'm going to jump out of an airplane and scream bloody murder all the way down, but I love it. I'm going to go hunt a demon in a known location where demons have actually scratched people, hurt people, thrown people off a balcony, but it's going to be awesome.
It's cheaper than a meth habit. And safer.
That's true, and it won't ruin your liver per se, unless you land over the
railing. It's cheaper, it's safer, and you don't go to jail for it. Well, I guess you could go to jail for ghost hunting if you do it in the wrong house and you're not allowed to be there, and there's no trespassing signs, and you could get arrested. But otherwise,
you could.
Yeah, but it's the same endorphin rush. It's the same dopamine rush. The same neurotransmitters are getting fired. You know, it's the same body reaction to that kind of fear and doing those things as it is to opening presents on your birthday, getting surprised, having sex is a similar one. Having someone come up and yell at you from behind and grabbing you.
Oh, right. It's the startle.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. It's the same chemical process going on within the body. And then once that chemical process happens, then the flip side of that is the elation afterwards and how good it feels, the rush, the tingling in your fingers and all those kinds of wonderful things.
Yeah, all the afterglow.
The afterglow effect. Yes.
When we're going into this thin ether that we're going into, and we're in it now, a lot of people struggle emotionally through the month mm-hmm. of October. Now, I'll talk about it from a spiritual perspective. I would love to see you, having worked and owned a mental health center in Wyoming, having worked in the mental health environment, I would love to know what you think about this. I have noticed that in the month of October, people really have a difficult emotional time. I attribute that, from a spiritual perspective, to the ether shift for the freaking planet is tilting, you know, it's getting farther. Even though we're tilting towards the sun, we're getting farther away from the sun. It's getting into winter. And this is opening up vortex points and all kinds of portals where spirit life can come and go. The ethers literally have weight to them. Mm-hmm. And it would be like, if we were used to wearing a lead blanket all the time and you take the lead blanket off, there's a feeling of weird nakedness and freedom that one would have. So when these ethers lift, people struggle dramatically through October all the way up to Halloween. And I see it's like a light switch that just goes flick and people get their groove once we come out of October. I've noted that from a spiritual perspective, energetically. When you were working in the mental health industry, did you notice that October was a particularly wonky month with anybody?
This time of year is all the way through, and there's a lot of, from what I see sociologically, influences on that. And we've got a lot of those that are starting now. They're going to perpetuate and they're going to, you know, keep going on for a year or so. And they are fear-based. And there's the media that's pushing it out there, the fear-based and the perceived sense of crisis. And I'll just kind of give you a quick rundown on some of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, one is you're not going to be outdoors anymore. Winter's coming on. There's the fear of winter. Even advertising, don't get caught without this. Don't get caught without that. The winter's coming, that kind of stuff. You know what? By now, if you don't know how to survive winter, I'm sorry. There's no hope for you. Social Darwinism should just take you out now. If you live in a cold climate and by now you haven't figured out how to survive winter, there's no hope for you. You know how to survive winter. And if you don't, you know somebody that does, and they're going to help you. Trust that. People are not going to let other people suffer out there. You know, then add to that, now you've got the holidays coming up. We got Thanksgiving. You know, there's some families that just shouldn't get that close together in that small of a space in the middle of November and eat that much food and watch football and drink beer and do things like that and everything. And it's not because they're bad families or anything. It's just because it's so stressful to
right.
feed that many people, to be responsible for all of that. Lighten up, people. Have a good time on Thanksgiving. Go ahead and have your big dinner. You know what? It really doesn't matter if one of the pies didn't turn out right, okay? Don't let people stress you issue about what size turkey you have to get, or do you have to have ham? You know what? A nice, great big pot roast is good for Thanksgiving as well. Don't stress about these things. You don't have to stress about Halloween. You don't have to buy the most expensive costumes. You can make them. You don't have to decorate for it. And then you got the biggie coming up, Christmas.
Oh, yes.
Christmas, the biggest marketing scam that was ever created for the 20th century. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness. Grinch-o-rama.
No, I'm not being a Grinch. I love the idea of Christmas.
Sure.
And the spiritual aspect of it and the giving and everything. But the media has turned it all into something of you have to buy this, you have to buy that. Product releases are set up to coincide between now and Christmas, and especially right before Christmas.
That is
creating
true.
The mass hysteria. I remember the Xboxes, they were coming out, you know, X number of days before Christmas, and, you know, hundreds of people standing in line trying to get 25 of these game machines so they could give them to their kids for Christmas, and they would buy one and then turn around and sell it for thousands of dollars. I seen that go on. All this kind of stuff, and it's all based on fear of you're not going to have this or this or this for Christmas for your family, so you're not a good person. You know what? Make something for somebody for Christmas. It's going to mean a lot more, and they're going to keep it the rest of their life.
Absolutely.
Now, add to that, this is a wonderful time, and you mentioned the Ebola and everything else that's going on. There are some genuine concerns with some of these things. There's some genuine concerns, you know, with outbreaks, plagues, stuff like that. I mean, they've happened throughout time.
They have.
And this isn't anything new. Ebola's been around for a long time. I was looking at photos from the first nurses that worked with Ebola cases in Liberia in 1975.
Well, exactly. Okay. It's been here.
It's been here. But here's the thing. Election is in 2 years. Campaigning starts just right at 1 year from right now. So
yes,
for the next year, people, hate to tell you this, they're going to do fear mongering. They're going to shift your attention off of what's really going on in society with the government, with big business. They're going to create a whole bunch of crises for you to pay attention to. Then the people campaigning are going to come in and say, I'll solve these crises for you. When really the crises that they're talking about are going to solve themselves. And there's much bigger things out there to be dealing with that they're not going to talk about because they want your vote. And they're going to get your vote based on fear. Look back at every presidential race we've had all the way back to, before Nixon that I can remember, but most clearly from Nixon forward that I can remember seeing the presidential races, they're all based on some sort of fear. There's a perceived crisis that's created about a year ahead of when the campaigning starts. Then the campaigning starts. They use that perceived crisis that they've created as a platform to campaign on and move forward. And that's just the way it works. One of my favorite ones was the Iran hostage crisis.
Oh my gosh.
Jimmy Carter.
With Jimmy Carter.
And the CIA leaked that that this isn't conspiracy, folks. People know this.
This is history, you guys. You can read about this.
This is history you can read about. I'll give you a quick history lesson. George Bush Sr. was the director of the CIA. He created Air America back in the 1960s, ran that successfully through 1983. He was the head of the CIA when Carter was president. It was a leak from the CIA that let the people in Iran know that Delta Force was coming. Delta Force was a huge failure. They used that as a crisis. Jimmy Carter's a failure. Let's don't reelect him. They ran on a platform that we'll tighten up security. We won't let this kind of stuff happen again. And they put Reagan in office along with Bush. And then Bush stayed in office for a total of how many years?
Oh my God.
16
years. 16 years. And that was really brilliant.
8 years as vice president. 8 years as president. He stayed in office. This was all pre-planned and orchestrated. There was a plan to it. It was just like any other corporate plan. It was like any other business plan. I mean, it was such a classic business plan, but they used that fear of we're not safe, we're not secure because of the Iran hostage. Now we've got ISIS, now we've got Ebola. Those are the two platforms that they're going to stand on starting a year from now.
Oh, for crying out
loud,
please,
you guys. When we go into elections, don't buy into it. Don't be afraid. Don't follow the fear. You know, and these are all the things, especially this year, that is going to hit everybody and hit everybody really hard. Along with all the stuff coming in spiritually, Christmas is the most stressful time of the year for everybody. Do I have enough money to buy my kids presents? That's the number one thing.
I know.
My wife, my husband, my whatever. You know what? I'm going to make most of the ones that I give away this year. I'm not going to go out and spend a whole bunch of money. I'll buy a few things here and there. And if anybody out there wants to buy me a present, don't buy me anything that plugs into a wall. No electronics, nothing like that. Harley parts are always welcome, but you know, Harley, you'll probably get me the wrong part, so don't bother. I know what I need. I'll get it myself. Let's sit down and make something. Sit down, make me something. Knit me a scarf. Make a little box for me to keep junk in. You know, stitch me up a medicine bag. I don't care what it is. I don't care how small it is. So I had someone make me a drum out of a gourd one time. I still got it today. It was great.
Well, of course. And that goes back to the fear. Shame you into not buying something. You know, we talk about Christmas. I love Christmas. I am a Christmas person. And I love to make things for people for Christmas. There was one year. I remember this back in, I was in Los Angeles, and it was about just after I'd moved down there, and I had run through my money, and I just was literally broke, and being broke in LA is no fun. And this was quite a while ago, and I wanted to do something amazing, and I scraped money together, had some friends fly me to go to their house for Christmas time. Well, I did not have 10 bucks to buy a Christmas present. What I made sock puppets that looked exactly like each person and gave it to him for Christmas. And Holly, you know Holly, of course, Holly and Pope Jane. Holly Shaver plays bass in Pope Jane. There was one that Christmas right after that where I was really finding myself, as I was making a transition, short on change. What I did was I made her 50 ringtones out of a bunch of Pope Jane music. And because obviously I own the rights to all that. So I made all these ringtones, and that took forever to do, but it was fun. And I gave her this disc, and she looked at me like, oh my God, this is amazing. Wow. So you talk about the fear of not being able to provide. It's a little different with children. You know, children get big expectations. And even if you make your kids cool stuff, kids like to open stuff. They like the sound. They like the presents. Under
it's
the tree.
How many.
Yeah,
how many did they get to open? How long? Yep, that's exactly what it is. You know, and decorating for Christmas, you know, I like to keep it simple. But what I like to do most of all is on Christmas Eve, if possible, and if not, then a day or two before, go out with my daughter and friends, and we'll take glow sticks with us. And we always make up some deals ahead of time, pine cones, and we cover those with peanut butter and then put bird seed and stuff in them and cranberries and things like that. We take strings. We go out. We find a tree. We hang those on it. We dry out orange peels. Just slice them, let them dry out, and apples and stuff like that. We hang those on it. We decorate a tree for the animals. We put, you know, just whatever we can strung up on it. You know, cranberries are great. You can string those up. The animals can eat them. And then when it's after dark, we'll take glow sticks and cut them open after we've cracked them and splash them on the tree. And we've got this beautiful glowing Christmas tree on Christmas Eve out there that we can sit around and enjoy and open one present, and then we go back home.
Oh, that's an amazing idea. I love that.
That will mean more decorating that tree. I guarantee it, if you go do it, it will mean more to you about Christmas than all the lights and all the tinsel and everything else that you've ever bought in your whole life put together. And even if it's in a city park, go do it anyway. Everybody will wonder who did it.
That's right. And everybody will claim they did it too. That was me. That was me with the glow stick and the splattery thing. That was my idea. I'm amazing. You know, the thing is, when you come from a rural place, and Roy, you're from Wyoming. I'm from Montana. I'm from here in Billings. You're from a smaller place than even I am. And I lived 11 years in Los Angeles and 6 years in Seattle. And you've lived all over the world too. And what I find interesting is that there is a moray that people who are from a small place tend to have. And it's not to say that people in bigger cities wouldn't go do this. If you're living in inner city Manhattan, and I've spent a lot of time over there, you know, find some area, find a fire escape and decorate it. You know, hang stuff on it that the birds can eat, that the pigeons can eat. Now, granted, the rats might eat it too, but that's okay. They're alive. You know, do the same sort of thing. You can make your environment beautiful and festive no matter where you're at. And I find that people who are in more rural environments tend to utilize or create more with less because we had to. I mean, when I was growing up in a city, I grew up in a bigger town than you, of course. You grew up in Buffalo, didn't you, in Wyoming? And how big is Buffalo when you were growing up?
Oh, about 3,000 people.
Okay. See, I was in Billings, and when I was growing up, it was 45,000 people. Now it's over double that. But 3,000 people, you know, you basically make your own fun. You make your own significance and you share it. And it's about community. And when we're talking about Christmas versus Halloween, and of course, Halloween being about spooky, scary, fun, whatever, you know, you can do fun Halloween things. Again, make your costume, do something. I love the idea of the glowy glow stick, glowy stuff. Sprinkling that on and glowing in the dark would be really cool on a costume. But again, this goes back to making things, you know, make your costume. I've seen costumes down at the Halloween shop that are in excess of almost $300 to dress up like a gladiator or something.
I had a friend one year that took a hat and shirt and pants and everything, laid them out and covered them in duct tape and wore black sunglasses and went as duct tape man and won the Halloween costume contest.
That's awesome.
Cost me a roll of duct tape and some ratty old clothes. You know,
duct tape man. I love it. Who are you? I'm duct tape man.
Yep. You know, it's fun with it. Now there is one. Here's one that I'm going to throw out there. A wonderful little fear that could be generated in you, and you could use it as a motivator to go do some. Fear can be a wonderful motivator.
Yes, it can.
It can be a wonderful motivator. Fear, I've known people in recovery that their fear of going back to what they were was, and knowing what was going to happen to them, was such a great motivator that it kept them sober and kept them moving forward where they changed their lives. So fear can be a wonderful motivator. So
amen.
I'm going to take something that you can be afraid of and use it as a motivator and do something really good. Enterovirus. It's in the news. It's making little kids really sick. Adults get it. They don't get so sick. It's a virus that can't be killed by alcohol. You've got to use bleach to kill it on your countertop, stuff like that. Alcohol will not kill the virus.
Good heavens, what is this called?
Enterovirus D68. It's affecting young kids, 5 years and under, putting them in the hospital. It's killed a few. It's running across the United States right now. It's a pretty nasty virus. I really don't want to take my daughter out trick-or-treating to a whole bunch of houses I don't know because of that. You know, just I know she's healthy and everything, and chances of her actually dying from it are pretty slim, but I really don't want her to have her go through all of that. Halloween party with friends from school. It's a great excuse this year that instead of going trick-or-treating, parents plan a Halloween party with your kids and bring your families closer together. Bring all the families closer together. And that's something that's going to help raise the spirit of the families and help build community for you and build community for your kids and things like that. They're going to remember that party way longer than they are going door-to-door trick-or-treating or going to some place, oh, we're having a party for the kids at the church, and they go and do that. I've done that before, too, with all the jumper toys and whatnot. Done that, but to have an actual Halloween party with their friends and the families, and the parents can be there and make some punch and whatnot, and please don't get drunk and drive home with your kids.
Oh, yeah, please don't do that.
You know,
oh.
Just go there and enjoy the kids, set up some games and whatnot. They can play outdoors. They can put their coats on and do that. They can play indoors. You can have treats for them, set up games where they find treats.
And even if you have a house that has enough doors and the family wants to get involved, you can, if you're parents, you can dress up, get brothers, sisters, cousins, dress up as something that would be spooky, say in the closet or in a bedroom or in a basement or any behind a door. And if the kids want to trick or treat around the house to different scary things, they can knock on the closet door and they can go check it out. They can knock on the bedroom door, and literally the parents get to have fun because they can decorate each room as a theme. So that's again, talking about creation. We're going to take a quick break right here. When we come back in, we're going to talk about creation, owning it, making it your own. And fear is a powerful motivator. Mm-hmm. So is love. So is coming together in community. We're going to draw all these concepts together right after this. You're listening to The Soul with Danielle Agnew and Roy Pack right here on mteenradio.net. Don't go anywhere. The Soul will be right back. Hi, Danielle Agnew here. Some people call me a psychic, others a medium, but at the end of the day, I'm just a person who works with my spiritual abilities with the intention of helping people. Reputable psychics are here to help you, not to convince you that you need them. If you find yourself too dependent on consulting a psychic for answers, it's time to take a step back. No one else but you holds the power to change your life, so trust yourself. For more information on how spiritual abilities work in our everyday life, visit the facts page on my website at DanielleAgnew-advisor.com. Hey guys, Danielle Agnew here, inviting you to uncover secrets of the spiritual world in exquisite and disturbing detail through my eyes with my book, True Tales of the Truly Weird, Real Paranormal Accounts from a Real Psychic. From ghosts, demons, extraterrestrials, kachinas, elementals, to people who even cannibalize another person's liver, True Tales of the Truly Weird is an expose on what's really lurking beyond. Are you ready for the truth? Grab your hard copy or Kindle version today at Amazon.com. Also available for Nook and iBook.
There's a darkness.
This place hadn't been touched for years.
And it made me feel terrified.
I don't like that place.
Bring it on.
Evil is the opposite of light and of God. And I think that can take on a lot of different forms.
Whatever you are, I know what you are.
The place was boarded up.
Fear grabs us all.
Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting, a Danielle Agnew film. Available on DVD at montgomeryhousehaunting.com.
At Rendell Marketing, we understand that your career and your projects are your life. We offer affordable monthly packages to drive traffic to your social media pages, boosting your Twitter followers, Facebook likes, and YouTube views in large numbers. Large numbers play a large part in getting you in front of the people who want what you have to offer. Visit us today at RenvilleMarketing.com. That's R-E-N, V as in Victor, I-L-L-E, marketing.com.
At Soul Sync Body Work in downtown Billings, we're here to unlock your deepest relaxation potential with a combination treatment. Two practitioners at once for the price of one. Licensed massage therapist and Celtic tonal healer Marsha Reichert bathes you in the energy of hot stone massage and vocal tones, while holistic reflexologist Craig Harris relieves the tension in your day with a relaxing foot rub. Call Soul Sync Body Work for your appointment today at 281-0135. Or visit soulsyncbodywork.com.
I never believed in ghosts. I always kind of wondered, oh, there's got to be some explanation, you know, until now.
Recent Gallup polls show that 90% of Americans have either experienced some paranormal activity or believe it exists.
You have to be very careful on what you're tampering with.
Their shadow passed between the boards and the window. Did you see that?
Fear grabs us all.
Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting. Available on DVD at montgomeryhousehaunting.com.
And now, back to the soul with your hosts, Danielle Agnew and Roy Pack. Hey guys, how you doing? We are back and we are talking actually about fear, why it's good for you. We're talking here on The Soul about how to take your community and make it part of your life, how to downsize, how to make relevance with, how to get out of fear consciousness and make relevance within your own family with creating memories instead of things. And just before the break, we were talking about, Roy brought up the fact that you can do Halloween parties with the family. And these are a lot of fun. Having kids go to a house, talking about setting up trick-or-treat stations, maybe in the bathroom, in a bedroom, in a closet, in the hall, whatever. So the kids can still, if they want to trick-or-treat, can go in and find a creature in there that's wearing a funky mask and gives them some food. But it's about the memories. And I find that we our generation, Gen X, Roy, made a lot of memories. We didn't have as many things to stimulate us. And there certainly was no such thing as a $300 costume in a Halloween warehouse when I was a little kid. You were lucky if you got Wonder Woman or Casper the Ghost when I was five.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, there were lots of ghosts running around.
Yeah, lots of sheets.
Yep. Ghosts, genies, things like that. Yeah, if you couldn't make it out of your clothes or, you know, grab mom's dress or dad's clothes and come up with something, you didn't have a costume.
Yeah. No, you didn't. And so I remember wrapping myself up. I spent all day making these costumes. You would come home from school and make them. And then you'd get out of school, if it was a school night that Halloween was on. And you would run home. And I remember wrapping myself up like the mummy. Did you do the mummy in a sheet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course. And then because it's a sheet and it's not stretchy, of course it unravels all night. And you're just like, oh man. Yeah, that was fun though.
Oh, that was the cool part though. Because I found an old sheet that I could cut up into strips. And so I wrapped wrapped myself all up in the strips and everything. Well, before the night was over, you know, I had part of the strips were hanging off and dragging.
Me too. Yeah, and, right. You know, and I'm like, oh, this isn't supposed to look right. The mummy's supposed to stay wrapped. Oh, I did the same exact thing and with draggy strips everywhere.
Yep. Oh, it was great. It was great. You know, then you were really the mummy and somebody would always come and step on the strip behind you, you know. And
I know. They would, right? Please don't do that. I will give you a piece of Snickers bar. Stop it.
Yep. I like the idea, though, you know, what you were talking about of creating something and making things good. And, you know, one of my favorite sayings is go ahead and play God, create things the way you want it. And that's part of free will. That was, there's, you know, philosophical debates in Christianity about this that go back through the ages and will go forward. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Did man, were they given the gift of free will, or was it the fall of man from grace? I prefer free will. That feels a whole lot better, a whole lot nicer, and says, I have the free will to go out and create something. I get to play God. I'm made in God's image. Why can't I create something? You know, we get to
infinite
create
creation. Yes.
We create life all the time, you know. Sometimes a little too much.
Sometimes unexpectedly, but yeah. Hey, that's okay. That's
yep,
all right.
Yep, that's okay. It happens. You know, create things in your life that you want to remember, that you want to have as a memory and hold on to. Those memories stand time.
They withstand absolutely time. They withstand time and they are pass onable. It's not a word, but you can pass them on. When you remember what you did, then you can pass it on to your kids and they can remember what they did.
Mm-hmm. They don't break. They don't wear out. You don't throw them away. You don't have to go buy a new one. No batteries required. No wall charger required. You know, none of that. They're just there. And they're real easy to create. You know, those are things that you can create. So throughout the holidays, and this, back to the original question, this time of the holidays is very, very stressful for people. There's a lot of weight on them out there with these three holidays, bang, 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 right in a row, and being bombarded by the media every time you turn on your TV that you have to buy something for. You have to buy a costume. You have to buy candy. You have to do all of these things, then you have to turn around and buy all of this stuff for Thanksgiving. And before you even hit Thanksgiving and you're done with Halloween, it's already, you have to buy this for Christmas. Oh, we're going to release this right before Christmas. So if you wait for it, you can get it if you stand in line. And you got to have all these things for Christmas. And in the TV shows, this is the perfect Christmas and that is the perfect Christmas and everything else is the perfect Christmas. And you get all these things. And even the ones that try to be perfect. I mean, the only TV show I ever seen that had the perfect Christmas on it was The Waltons.
Well, it was the Waltons. They had the perfect Christmas. They had the perfect family. They had, my God, I remember the Christmas shows. And it's funny because we're talking about Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. And we're coming up on Halloween. And now I'm noticing that they are advertising for the Christmas season and the Christmas decorations are already out, before Halloween. Yeah. It used to be we were horrified if the retail items got out before Thanksgiving. Now everything is out by Halloween. Yeah. Now Halloween used to be one of the bigger retail seasons. It was actually eclipsing Christmas as far as decorations, okay? Mm-hmm. Not obviously retail items, but as far as swag, things you would decorate with. Halloween was leading Christmas for many years until the Twin Towers fell. When the Twin Towers fell, it was very interesting. All Halloween stuff after that moment dropped off significantly because horror is only fun when it's not actually really happening. And there was such a trauma that had happened in the country over the Twin Towers and, oh, good Lord, all that terrible stuff at 9/11. That actually the Halloween industry suffered for years and years after that because people just didn't want to be scary. They'd been freaked out enough. It was fun. It's all fun and games when you're a zombie. But when the country had incurred such a crisis, it just wasn't fun to be scary anymore. Now we've got the Halloween warehouses. And again, we're trying to get back into sync. But the Halloween industry now is actually far more prevalent with adults than it is with children because of safety reasons for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And even, you know, I've been seeing the Halloween parties advertised already for adults and that kind of stuff. And I see so many so many things where, okay, who can we get to go take the kids? We want to go to the Halloween party. And Halloween really has become more about the adults in a lot of places than it is the kids. You know, where's the biggest, best Halloween party? What band's playing there? You know, that kind of stuff, prizes and everything. I mean, some of these, you walk in and you get best costume, you're going to get a cruise somewhere.
Oh, it's amazing.
Things like that.
It's amazing. And it's funny because you're talking about Halloween events. And I'm laughing to myself in here because I'm talking about this, realizing I'm actually playing one this year. I am playing the Witches and Wizards
on Hallows Eve.
On Hallows
All
Eve.
Hallows Eve.
There you go. See, I sound like somebody who smoked a carton of Camels, and you sound cool when you do that. I don't know what I sound like.
I'm mimicking typo negative.
Yeah. All Hallows,
Hallows Eve.
But really, I'm playing literally the Witches and Wizards Ball here in Billings, Montana, which is, of course, starting at 6:30. It's benefiting the Montana... oh God, I can't even read my own writing. It's benefiting. It's a benefit is what it's benefiting. And I'm playing a set. I'm playing music, and it's not very much money to get in. I mean, literally they're splitting the door with the benefit project. And that's at 701 Daniel Street on Halloween, if anybody's interested, but it is all about adults. What? What? I just thought about that. I thought, here I'm sitting here ragging on how adults do this. I'm like, what am I even talking about? I'm playing a Halloween function. Jeez. But no, I mean, I'm glad that the doors open at 6:30, and I do hope people go.
That was a totally inside my head joke that was going on while I was staring at you there. And it's something that everybody needs to do a little bit more of, no matter what they do.
Just stare at people?
Shameless self-promotion. And you took the opportunity there.
Oh,
and
that
went
was a hell of a... Yes, I did.
And everybody needs to do that. Promote yourself, you know, in whatever it is that you do. Because if you're waiting for other people to promote you in what you're doing and talk good about you and get promotions out there for you, yeah, it's going to happen. But it's really best when it comes from the source.
Well, and this, honest to God, my interest in promoting this was the Montana Home Project.
Yes.
And they are actually, this is a huge deal. It deals with homelessness. And the Witches and Wizards Ball is actually put on by the Celtic sects here in, the Celtic Druidic sects here in Montana. So it's a little interesting because it's a little off the beaten track there. But there's going to be psychic readings and swag and cool stuff and music, and it's going to be fun. But again, adult function. That's
why,
an adult
why
function.
Why am I not a part of this?
You are. What do you mean, why are you not a part of it? Come down and be a part of it. Good heavens. See here. Look at my little piece of paper.
Do
with
I get a booth
writing.
To do readings?
If you want to. I don't know why not. Yeah. They're doing.
Can I wear my kilt and carry a club?
Oh, please wear a kilt and carry a club. I mean, but it is Halloween. You're supposed to dress up, Roy. So, no, really, you guys, this is actually a really good cause. And you can go down and do readings. Absolutely. They're charging for 10 minutes a reading. They're doing $1 a minute. So people can sit down, have a fun Halloween reading. And they're encouraging the readers to split their take with, of course, the Montana Home Project. So they asked me if I was going to read. I don't know that I will read. I may just play music and have some purple cocktails or something. I'm not sure. But yeah, come on down. It's a really great, really, really great cause, Witches and Wizards Ball. Of course, doors open at 6:30. That's at 701 Daniel Street here in Billings, Montana. So come on down. Check it out on Facebook.
I just might do that.
You should. I think you should wear a kilt and drag a club. That's cool.
Paint my face. Look
yeah.
funky.
Yeah.
I need a spiked helmet.
A spiked helmet?
Yeah.
Now that would look awesome.
Something with horns on it.
Like a horny
helmet.
A horny helmet. Like one of those opera singer women?
Yes,
yes,
exactly.
Yes, okay.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that would look awesome. Yeah, I think you should come. I think you should come. It's going to be a lot of fun. But this is just another example. This is my little piece of paper I dug out of my pocket to read that off of adult mm-hmm. parties. And there are tons just alone here in Billings, Montana. When I was living in Los Angeles, it was unbelievable. Pope Jane, my old band, we used to play enormous Halloween functions. And back mm-hmm. in the day, people liked live music for Halloween. They were huge.
Yeah, Halloween is really, it's an adult holiday these days in a lot of ways. 4th of July is more of a kid's holiday.
Yeah.
You know.
Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas is a kid's holiday. Thanksgiving's, that's the family holiday. Easter is also a family holiday, but make these things memorable. If you have kids and you got other family members that have kids and are close by or friends, it's not too late to organize something. Make some phone calls and organize something. Surprisingly, getting together and organizing something like that in your block or in your neighborhood or with your family is a lot less stressful than driving around to all the different safe places that you know of where you can take your kids trick-or-treating and doing all of that. That takes a lot of energy, a lot of time, a lot of money. It's stressful doing it. I know I've done it for years.
It is stressful. And if you've got, like, for instance, here in Billings, Montana, and I'm sure in other communities across the country, there's something similar to what I'm going to describe. There's a very historic old downtown area here mm-hmm. that has big three-story Victorian homes, and it's really awesome. And it's in this downtown neighborhood. And they will literally take sawhorses, City of Billings will, and block off big 2-3 block stretches, and the houses within the blocked off area basically decorate, and it becomes a little mini Halloween town. And so people from other parts of Billings will come and trick or treat just on those houses.
Yep.
Because it's a very controlled environment.
And it's a safe zone.
It's absolutely a safe zone. Yes, it is.
And that's the cool thing about it. There are safe zones that are around cities that are set up that just like that. And every city has them. It's hard to find out where they are sometimes.
That is true. And I would encourage everybody actually to Google whatever town you're in. If you're in Houston, if you're in Los Angeles, Google Halloween safe zone, because oftentimes you will find the word safe and zone oftentimes is meta tagged, and people can find where you can bring your kids and not have them be in danger or jeopardy. I personally, Roy, I love the idea that you threw out there about somebody choosing to have a Halloween party at the house, mm-hmm. at their house, and everybody getting together. You're localized. You can have all kinds of really fun Halloween games. It's fun to make Halloween food. I mean, there's some nasty mm-hmm. Halloween food out there that's made of hot dogs and pieces of corn that look like severed fingers.
Oh, peeled grapes in a bowl feel like eyeballs.
Yeah, peeled grapes in a bowl.
When you can't see them, they're eyeballs.
Yep, they're eyeballs. Absolutely. Or boba. Now we've got the invention of boba. That definitely feels like an eyeball.
You know, one of the best memories of Halloween, and I think any kid that's ever lived in my generation in Sheridan, Wyoming remembers this. Up on the end of Main Street, there was this house, and it was, you're going to love this, Dr. Batty's house.
Dr. Batty's house?
Batty.
Oh, good heavens.
Yes.
All right.
Dr. Batty was kind of batty. His son's a doctor, too, and he's a little batty. But he decorated for Halloween. And you'd go out trick-or-treat and stuff, but the last place you always went and every kid in town went was Dr. Batty's house. And you walked in the front door, and the first thing that greeted you at the front door was Dracula.
Nice.
Life-size, mannequin, everything. Walk past Dracula, and Dracula was there in his casket propped up in, I mean, an actual coffin. And then past that was Sleeping Beauty, a full life-size mannequin set up Sleeping Beauty in a glass-covered table. And then Frankenstein was standing over in the corner, and you went through all these things in the house.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I mean, the way they were done with these like big shadow boxes of the room, and this is this big old Victorian house built in the 1800s there. And then the last thing, you wound up out on the back porch, and there was hot chocolate and cookies and everything there, and all the kids hung out, and, you know, you all wound up sharing your candy and talking and everything else. And, you know, where'd you get the most? Where'd you get the least? That's what I remember of Halloween.
Yes.
Is Dr. Batty's house. And you ask anybody that's within 10 years of my age in Sheridan, Wyoming, where's the place you went on Halloween? Dr. Batty's house.
Right.
You know, there was a memory that one man, for as crazy a guy as he was, created for an entire community, for a whole generation.
Wow.
He created that memory. And that's a really cool thing. And you can do that yourself. Create a memory and create these rituals. We don't have rituals as families anymore.
Which is very sad.
Or rituals as people.
Yeah.
And rituals are very, very important. Now, I don't mean rituals like, you know, yeah, one of the classic ones. If you live in Salem, Massachusetts, go out, burn a witch for Jesus this Halloween, okay?
Oh, good heavens. Good Lord.
You know, there's a tradition that we don't want to hold on to.
But. No, we don't. Especially if you want to be part of the Witches and Wizards Ball there, man.
But there's some really good rituals out there that you can create daily rituals for your life. You know, one of my things is I get up in the morning, and I like to get up before everybody else in the house in the morning and have my cup of tea, and I just sit.
Yeah, you
and
do.
I
you
don't
do
turn
sit.
Anything on. I don't listen to anything. I just sit, and that's a ritual that I do. And rituals can be just that small. Those personal ritual things actually provide stability for us emotionally and in our lives of something that we can always do. There's people that have made it through POW camps based on their rituals.
Oh, I believe that. That goes back to the human need for structure.
Yeah.
You know, structure in the self and something that's sacred to the self. Mm.
It's sacred. And you can create those rituals for your family, and they're called traditions.
Yeah.
Creating a tradition for your family.
You know, my family at Christmas traditions, we used to get a big Italian family. Everybody would get together no matter how cold it was, and we would go caroling. And it would be freezing cold, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins. We would bundle up. We would have hot chocolate at my mom's house, and all our family sang. Everybody sang. So we'd have these three-part harmonies, caroling, walking down the street. And it's been sad over the years. I tried to get a couple of years ago the family together to carol. And my uncle's ill, and he can't really walk around anymore. My other aunt and uncle had, it was a bad year for them with some family stuff, so they weren't really feeling Christmassy to go caroling. And it just kind of all fell to the side because of age and other things that were going down. And that is something, however, that caroling that was that drew everybody together. It was Christmas Eve. We knew that we were going to bundle up and get hot cocoa. And it was freezing cold, but who cares? We're going to drive to all the Italian relatives' house and carol. And it's interesting to talk about a Halloween memory. Here in Billings, Montana, on the corner of 3rd and Clark downtown, is my friend. You know Stacey Schumer. She's a wonderful psychic here in town in Billings. Her mother owns this house that is this two-story, actually it's a three-story, big old, looks like a southern plantation house with big white columns. And they decorate that thing up with a Bates Motel sign, and it has a big wrought iron fence all the way around. It's really scary. That house, just to have people go trick-or-treat at it, will have a line wrapped around the block just to get into that house. And last year, I actually dressed up as a ghoul, just with a $25 Kmart costume, but it was really scary. And it was the way I threw my energy and moved my energy with hardly any movement at all. Scared the dickens out of half of that line. It was awesome. Nobody knew it was me, though, but that's okay.
You know what my favorite Halloween things to do is, but they don't do it around here anymore. I think I was one of the last ones to actually throw a party doing this at the Armory when you could, before 9/11, you could get the Armory. Rocky Horror Picture Show on Halloween.
Oh, Rocky Horror. I have been to Rocky Horror Picture Show Halloween. Oh, God, those are great. Those are
great. So which character are you?
I know I'm not supposed to. Frankenfurter was a guy, you know, but I liked the crazy transvestite.
Riff Raff. That's me.
Was you? Oh, you riff raff. Oh my God.
Riff Raff. Lots of tinfoil, hair pulled back in a ponytail, dyed bleach blonde. Yep, I'm Riff Raff. Gonna keep the balance in things and keep it in order and just be real quiet about it.
You go, Virgo. I was strapping on a corset and pretending to be a tranny. Yes. Yeah. That's it. Good times. Good times with Halloween.
So I guess kind of the theme of this out there, people, because we're totally on tangents and everything here. And you know what? That's okay. You know, sharing some of these things. I wish you guys could call in tonight, because I would like to hear some of those things that you have to share of memories and that kind of stuff. So do us a favor, please. Get a hold of us on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/anotherhuman. Danielle's told you how to reach her. You know, let us know what some of these memories are that you have from different holidays, from Halloween, from Thanksgiving, from Christmas. Do you still do them? You know, are you still doing those traditions? And if not, have you created any new ones? What can you do to create those traditions? Those traditions are the stability and focal point of a family history. Those are the things that wind up in the Bibles. And there's a big tradition, keeping a family tree and a Bible, you know, things like that. Those are the things that hold a family together throughout the ages. When you die and your kids come to the funeral, you know what they're going to talk about? The good times and the traditions.
Absolutely. And traditions.
Give those to them.
Yes. And don't be afraid to put the time into it. And as you said, Roy, don't be afraid to make up your own traditions. That's fun.
Yeah.
And kids are like cats, man. You do something once for a cat, it remembers it forever. Kids are the same way. Mm-hmm. You do something once for the kid and they're like, I expect this every single time, which is really neat. I mean, it's a neat thing to watch. This Halloween, too, if you do have little ones, keep in mind, you guys, touching back on some of the sight unseen topicry here, just because this is pertinent about creating traditions, make sure you're doing something safe with your kids. Do be aware that this actually is a thin ether time. Even though we've talked numerously tonight, that's not even right. We've talked a lot tonight about the fact that there's retail involved and it's commercialized. But we are talking about Samhain. We are talking about Samhain. It's the Celtic New Year for a reason. The ethers are thinner. So there are things that do go bump in the night that are normal. And the reason that originally people dressed up in costumes was obviously to scare off the evil things that were coming to get them. It wasn't to go get candy. It was to scare the evil things back into the forests and back into the ethers. So just be aware that when you're out there with your kids, it is a thin ether time, even though we've commercialized the heck out of it and we do witches and wizards balls and we do whatever. Be aware and watch what your kids are doing. You know, I do not recommend the Ouija boards during Halloween. It's just kind of like playing with a loaded gun. Don't be doing that. So if your kids are interested in that, direct them another way. Mm-hmm. You know, do something else that would be fun and scary. Do a circle of ghost stories. Do a haunted house in your house. Something that's participatory. But do your best not to be knocking the ethers down at this time of the year, because it can get scary.
And the nice thing about them being so thin right now, and this is the other side of me talking, is it's really easy to connect with other people and feel other people. Literally, if you're sitting next to someone right now, you know, slide away to where you're not physically touching them and reach over and just hold your hand in front of their chest and see what you feel. You're going to feel that person and they're going to feel you. They're going to feel your hand there. Just focus on that spot right there between the two of you where you're not really touching. The ethers are very thin right now and you can do this. Anybody can do this. And that's the connection right there. Feel that connection for a few minutes. You're going to feel something really special, really wonderful. You're going to want to feel it again, and you're going to want to build on that. And when you start bringing the family together for these wonderful traditions and everything, you're going to feel it in a whole room of people.
Absolutely you are. That is the positive aspecting of thin ethers, and thank you for bringing that up. That's how to use these ethers in a positive way and stay out of the negative with them. Stay out of the negative with them. Another thing really quickly, if any of our listeners are out there on the East Coast, this is a fantastic time, especially if you're in upper state New York or up in the Jersey area that is wooded. This time of year is huge for elemental activity, huge. And this is a fun time of year for the adults, not talking about the kids here. If you are looking for something to go looking for or looking at.
Witch hunts.
Oh, witch hunts. That would be down in Salem. Just catch a bus down there. You can find that. Actually, if you really want to know something, I'm going to completely interrupt my train of thought here with the witch hunts. If you go onto Google Maps, okay, Google Earth, and look at a picture over Salem, there is actually a dark, and it's not just over Salem. It looks like a little filament that sits right on top of it. That is an energetic issue. That was there long before the Salem witch trials. The Native Americans didn't want people to live there. They told them the ground was sour. There was something wrong with it. And that whatever dark came up and affected the people who were prone to the dark, who claimed everybody was a witch when they weren't, that was the darkness, though. That was the evil, was hanging and killing all these people. So if you are up in upstate New York or out into the New Jersey area, go. This is a great time to go looking for the Jersey Devil.
The Jersey Devil.
The Jersey Devil.
Enlighten me.
Oh, yeah, right on. See, if I was out there, this is what I'd be doing. But do go in a group and don't bring your kids, because this is scary. It's scary. The Jersey Devil is an elemental. It is documented by several East Coast Indian tribes, Native American tribes, about this thing that lived in the woods and used to swoop down and basically take kids, anything small. They're elementals, but it's large. It gets confused with Mothman, which is actually an interdimensional creature. But the Jersey Devil is a real thing. I mean, there's all kinds of accounts through all the way back from the first settlers, the first pre-colonist kind of people, all the way up to modern times. This elemental lives in that pocket over there, in those big deciduous leaf eastern forests. And so if you want to do something really scary and you're on the East Coast, but do not bring your kids, because it is scary. And if the thing shows up, your kids are going to be traumatized. But if you're an adult and you want to go on a scary ghost hunt, make sure you don't get lost and be safe and be with a large group of people. There's a lot of vortex points also on the East Coast that you want to stay out of. But this is a really fun time to go scoping out the Jersey Devil, because the ethers are thin. Just be wise about what you're doing.
Okay.
It'd be fun. You know you'd love it. You know you'd love it. You'd bring a night scope and a crossbow. I'd be like, Roy, don't shoot the Jersey Devil. Let's just go look for the Jersey Devil.
You kidding? I'm from Wyoming. I'm going to bring a rope and a bullwhip. You know, lasso that thing and whip it into shape.
It is large. It's very large. The eyewitness accounts, the thing is over 7 feet tall, has a face the shape of a horse, is reported to have bat-like wings.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall. That's what we say.
Big. Get a rope.
Yep.
Get a rope. You guys, thank you so much for listening into The Soul this wonderful Wednesday. We're sorry we couldn't take your calls, but listen to mtradio.net. Tomorrow, I'm sure the phone lines are going to be up and running again. The city of Billings won't leave them down the entire time. Of course, check us out on Facebook. Check us out. We're going to get a Facebook page rolling here pretty soon, I think.
Yep, we're going to. And one last word for me. Get out and love somebody.
Yes, get out and love somebody. Create community. Listen to your Roy. Get out and create community. Do something fun, everybody. And if you are going to do Halloween activities, just again, make sure that you're safe in your community, everybody. Again, we got about 10 days or so before Halloween, probably. I don't know. I should be counting on the calendar, but you'll have plenty of time to get out there. Remember to love on people. Stay out of fear. You don't want to be in fear this season with these thin ethers. Take advantage of what Roy mentioned. Go ahead and love the people that you're with. I'm Danielle Agnew, your psychic medium. This is the psych major, Roy Pack. Thank you so much for listening to The Soul on mtradio.net. We will catch you next Wednesday.